are listening to Putnam Proud, a podcast about the Putnam County Charter School System in Edenton, Georgia. Our shows will highlight the school system, families, teachers, staff, and the community.
Hey, welcome back. Steve here, and I got another exciting episode of the Putnam Proud podcast for you. And with us today is Tyquilius Mahone. He's going to talk about his journey through Putnam County Schools, beyond, and where he's going next, which has something to do with the Air Force, which is really cool. So with us also is Lindsay Rickman, who is the communications coordinator for Putnam County Schools, and Mr. Eric Arena, who is the superintendent. So welcome, everybody, and let's do some voices here with names. So Tyquilius, say hi to everybody.
Hey, I'm Tyquilius, age 21.
Awesome. Lindsay?
This is Lindsay Rickman. Y'all don't want to know my age.
Mr. Arena.
I'm Eric Arena, and it is a pleasure to be here.
Well, this is awesome. We got a great discussion today, and we're talking with Tyquilius about his journey through Putnam County Schools and beyond. And so, Tyquilius, let's start with this. Talk a little bit about, where you grew up and a little bit about just stuff as a kid here in Putnam.
I started out in Putnam, born in Putnam, went to Atlanta, graduated from Lewis Academy, and then came back here, and then started, I think it was second grade here, and then all the way to 12th grade. Middle school, that's where I got my reach in eighth grade. And then did dual enrollment in high school, and then the lawyer assistant thing in 12th grade, and that's when I went to South Georgia Tech. And now, at the South Georgia Tech motorsports program, now I'm going to the Air Force.
Very cool. So, all right, so we're going to back up just a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay. So talk about let's talk about the school itself in Putnam County. What's something you like about it? What do you remember about?
I was a really introverted kid in Putnam County, so I really didn't talk to many people, so I was just really by myself. But I had a couple of friends in high school, I'd say, but I really didn't get really out there until high school. So really elementary, middle school, all that was really a blur to me. Well, it was a fast blur, I met some good people, though.
Very cool. So let's talk about high school then. So what's... one of the things you talked about is that you went into dual enrollment. So before you did that, did you really have kind of a focus on what you were thinking about doing, or did that kind of help you do that?
No, I didn't have a focus. I didn't have any hobbies at the time. Welding, I thought I wanted to do welding, but after I graduated, I was like, welding's a pretty hard job to find. After that, I was like, I want to pursue the car racing industry. That's when I went there.
That is awesome. So, all right. So let's talk at least a little bit about the experience with the welding, though, because that's a cool thing to do. Because you have the ability to control fire.
Yeah.
Multimodal. So tell us a little bit about what you built or took apart or put back together again.
We did one project in schools building a table, and I think we built something else for the school. Well, I didn't build it. I wasn't a part of the PCHS letters outside of the high school. Our welding class built that, and we also built the table. Mr. Clark was also our teacher. I think he's still at the Central Georgia Tech, too. We did stick, MIG, and TIG, but I didn't do pipe. But stick is probably a little stick that you see burning down. That's probably on the cover of everything. MIG, it's like a gun, wire feeds out and melts as it touches the metal with the ground. Then the TIG is also the tungsten arc welding, which is have a long tungsten and a holder, and then you just wiggle it around and it just melts metal. That's the nicest one, though.
So you got certificated or certification in all three of those while you were in high school?
Yes, sir, all three.
So, believe me, I apologize for not knowing, but do you join different metals with the different TIG or MIG, or is it just the the material that you're joining the metals with. Can you educate us a little bit about that?
So the stick is normally going to be steel. MIG is, you can do MIG, stainless and steel. But TIG is mostly aluminum, steel, stainless. You can do anything with TIG as long as the metal's clean. You know.
Okay. So how do you clean the material?
Grinder.
Okay, yeah. So you grind it to where?
You grind the metal to shiny, and then after that, that's when TIG happens. But prep work is mostly everything in welding.
Okay. So, Steve, you were telling a story. You were in the military, and you got the opportunity as a communication in communication in the Army, but you got the opportunity to do something that you don't normally get to do. You want to tell that story?
Well, sure. One of the things that was cool, I was doing training in San Antonio, Texas, and we were the unit that day, I was there helping with communications stuff, and they needed some help because they were putting together cattle crossings for the community and for some of the farmers. And so they were using their welding tools to do that. And the sergeant looked at me and said, "Hey, you know, you want to take a break from what you're doing and learn how to use a cutting torch?" And I'm like, "Well, that would be cool. Not done that before." And and so I got a chance to use a cutting torch. And, I got to tell you, one of the things I learned was that when that sucker pops and that metal goes down your gloves, I don't care how long, then you got to get those gloves back off. And it popped a couple different times on me, a bunch of different times. What am I saying? And I had nice little holes in my in my uniform after that, which is a good thing I was wearing the BDUs. But it was something else though to be able to. We were using the cutting torch. We were cutting these pipes so that they then had the guys who then welded them together to make the cattle crossings. I mean, I got to tell you, what was cool is that you're controlling that flame and you're having fun doing this. And I don't know if they were having fun making fun of me because I was a communications guy doing the welding or what, but it was cool. And a lot of times they did the welding to fix these different, it was an engineer battalion. And so they welded lots of things, fixed these vehicles that were called gammy goats and all kinds of stuff like that when the suspension broke and things like that. And so it was neat because it was kind of power, it was cool the power that you had to do that stuff. So did you get to use a cutting torch and did you deal with popping?
I used to deal with it a lot. But normally you would put a bevel on a piece of metal before you root it. So when you root a metal, you bevel it, you cut two angles together, you bevel it, and then you put the root in. But before you put the root in, you have to cut the bevel. And once you cut the bevel, you have to put the landing on it, which is the bevel. And then during that process, that's where you use the torch at. And the torch can probably cut like 4+ inches of metal. Yeah, it gets very rowdy.
Very cool. Now, I know you didn't go in, you're not going into that as a career, but what'd you find interesting about it? I mean,
you put the hood down, and it's like without the hood, you can't see when you're welding. So when you put the hood down, it's kind of peaceful. You see nothing but the metal and what you're doing, and it's concentrating on that. You get to stay quiet in your own world.
I like that. That's cool. So now you went from doing that in dual enrollment. So when you finish high school, you're going to go off into another college where you're going to do the motorsports. Can you talk a little bit about where you went and what you did?
Went to South Georgia Tech. It was in America's motorsports program. My instructor name was Mr. Beaver. Worked on a lot of race car stuff, machine work. They had a simulator, a gaming simulator, driving simulator. Played the simulator a lot. Classes, probably like a 10% in class and like a 90% in shop class. Engine work, chassis, suspension building, roll cage building. That's most of it.
So were you a better driver or mechanic?
I was a better mechanic at the time. I didn't become a good driver until I got my Camaro.
Oh. Yeah. And now you've got a Camaro, and now you're a better driver.
Yes, sir. Now I'm a better
driver. Usually it's the opposite.
Be sure to slow down now that we don't want Sheriff Seals to be picking you up because you're going too fast. Yes,
sir. I like that. That's, in a little bit we're going to get to you in the military, but, just a note, it's a lot of times the new soldiers, the first paycheck, they go out there and buy.
buy a car.
Buy a car. Not just any car, a fast car. So the good thing is you got that out of your way. You got it already.
Yeah.
So what'd you, you know, that program there, what were you thinking at the time that it might lead to? I mean, what were you hoping at least?
I was hoping it would become more of a engineering thing to where I can, like, build cars in the future, race cars in the future, and then once have my own race team, tuning shop and all that kind of stuff. Tuning, the breakdown tuning is, like, taking the factory car's computer and upgrading certain things inside of the computer or telling the computer to do things at certain times, do it like that, and that just makes the car faster and more productive.
Nice. So when you were doing all of that, by the way, have you done that to the Camaro yet, taking it apart?
Yeah. I've done a lot to Camaro. Things I've done in the Camaro, I've put a cam in it, new wheels and tires, exhaust. I went inside the engine multiple times, pulled the engine out of the car multiple times. But, yeah, that's probably the journey right now.
That's awesome. That's sure. So do you have any extra parts after doing this? You go,
have to buy the extra parts, and parts ain't cheap at all. It's a debt thing. I got into a very expensive hobby.
I can imagine how expensive that would be, especially today. You know, one of the things that you're talking about, though, that's a cool, learning how to fix your car.
Yes, sir.
That's powerful right there. Did you get any new friends out of that?
Yeah. I met my friend Tay out of it. As soon as I got to college, that's the first person I met, and now he works at Dodge dealership in Atlanta.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So when you were working on the vehicles and all this sort of stuff and learning those thoughts, having those thoughts about going into motorsports, what was the thing that you just remember the most that you're very glad you did it, no matter what you do in your world?
Roll cage and suspension building. Learned about shocks, coilovers, alignment, caster, camber, and all that kind of stuff. It's the suspension work that goes into racing, circle racing, driving around like NASCAR people do, or drag racing. So, like, there's certain things that you do for certain applications. So it's good to learn that, and you do certain things for certain things you want to do, basically.
That's excellent. All right, so before we start talking about the next part of your journey, which is going to the Air Force, let's back up and talk about a few recognitions that you received while you were in school, one of which was the REACH program.
Yes, sir.
So, Lindsay, can you tell us a little bit about that?
So, for those that don't know what REACH actually stands for, it's Realizing Educational Achievement Can Happen. And so it's a needs-based scholarship that they have here in Georgia. And what grade were you? Were you eighth?
Eighth grade.
So in middle school, they're able to sign a commitment letter, and that just says that they are going to maintain good behavior, good grades. The GPA I think they have to maintain is 2.5, and then they're going to maintain good attendance throughout high school. And if they do that, when they graduate, they get a $10,000 scholarship, which is pretty impressive. The thing that I like is that you actually get partnered with a mentor. So you've got somebody that's there, that adult, that can kind of help you along the way. Who was your mentor?
My mentor was the counselor of high school. I'm forgetting her name, her last name.
It would have been 2000.
I think it was Ms. Roberts, I think.
Ms. Roberts. Mm-hmm. What was probably the most impactful thing that she taught you?
Ms. Roberts was a all-around type of counselor. She helped me with everything. Getting into new classes I didn't like in high school. So, was the selection class like that? So you have the grade classes you're supposed to take, math, science, social studies, and all that.
Elective.
Yeah, elective classes. So if I didn't like my elective, I'd go to her, and she'll get to change it for me. And that was one of the things she did for me. She helped me find college courses, college that I wanted to go to. I was supposed to go to UTI, but UTI was very expensive, and it was out of state. It was a Florida thing, but didn't go to UTI. Went to South Georgia Tech.
Well, she probably noticed that you were you liked to work with your hands, so that's probably why she kind of got you into that welding, and then it may not have been where you're going to go, but you'll definitely be able to use it,
yes, ma'am.
I imagine.
She was very good.
So in eighth grade, what's interesting is, you have to apply, Steve, for this. So you've got, in our school system, there, 200, 225, mm-hmm. First semester eighth graders that have the opportunity to apply for the scholarship. And so there's an application process. And then after the application process, then there's an interview team that actually interviews all of the applicants and that – then those are narrowed down to only five were given scholarships. So at 13 years old, you are probably one of the first in your cohort or your class to receive a scholarship. What did you think about that? Maybe you didn't think anything. I don't know. What did you think about
at
that?
At the moment, I was, like I said, a very introverted child. My mom was the type of person to, you know, get on me about a lot of things. She wanted me to do a lot of extracurricular activities. That's how I got into Eagle Scouting. Then that's how I achieved the Eagle Scout. During the interview process, the questions were simple, but my mom always made sure I showed up reasonable. I guess it really interviewed like I'm doing the great thing, you know. That was a good process about it.
Well, interviewing is to me, it's very intimidating, or it can be. So for you to do it at 13, now as moving forward, you've already done something very difficult that adults don't even like to do. So you already have one kind of under your belt, and I feel like it probably just helped you in the future now when you have to do job interviews or interviews with the Air Force.
Yeah, my mom put me out of my comfort zone a lot. That's how I got to be the person I am today.
Mamas have a tendency to do that, don't they?
Yeah.
At the time, we don't necessarily see or understand the value, but
or appreciate it.
But as we mature, we have a tendency to realize that they absolutely want the best for us.
Yeah.
So let's go back, and now you at 13, eighth grade, you received the scholarship. What do you want to be at 13? Can you remember back to your 13-year-old self? What do you want to be when you grow up?
I remember doing a test in eighth grade. It was about to see which my career job would be.
Uh-huh.
I really didn't know then either. I think I wanted to be a coding or video game designer.
Okay, like computer that. Science or yeah, something
computer
like that.
Science. Technical. Yeah.
But yet, I heard you say when you're working on race cars that you could take the computer chip, the brain, and reprogram it to make it do things that the manufacturer didn't want it to do in order to go faster, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that even, you know, as you're building roll cages, you may need to weld that. So you got some hands-on part and some computer science parts. What do you think about that?
It's good. It all goes together. It's very, very well.
Coming back 360.
All the way around, pro soccer.
So now, you said you didn't have a whole lot of extracurricular activities, but yet I did hear you say about Boy Scouts. Tell us a little bit about Boy Scouts.
I started Boy Scouts as a Tiger, but you have different ranks in Boy Scouts. You have the Cub, the Tiger.
So Tiger's about what age?
Tiger's about third grade, fourth grade.
Okay, so
grade
about
age.
8 or 9 years old, you start.
Elementary school.
Okay, elementary school.
That went, and then I really didn't get really, really active until, like, middle high school. That's when I took the field trip to a camp. It was called the Order of the Arrow. You go in the woods, stay, like, 3-4 days out there, camp out there.
Well, for those of us that weren't in the Boy Scouts and that don't do a whole lot of camping, you're talking about primitive camping, right?
Yes.
There are no bathrooms. There's no electricity.
Nothing like that. Nothing like that. You have your tent. You have your sleeping bag. But I think the first time we went, we didn't get to use a sleeping bag at all. We got to use a sleeping bag, but no tent. But you had different courses you can go through. You had the shotgun course. That's the first time I ever shot a shotgun, semi-automatic shotgun.
So what were you shooting at?
The little orange plates that they shoot out of the
skeet.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so were you able to hit any?
Yeah, I hit all
good.
Of them.
Okay,
surprisingly. Yeah,
it's technical. He's got the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah. Okay. And then we did the rifle course, the 22 long rifle course. We did the fire, how to build a fire.
I would fail that.
Build a fire from what? You're starting a fire from what?
Flint.
Okay.
Flint, so you got stone, and shavings from a piece of wood. And then we did use a magnifying glass if the sun was out. That's the only time you can use it.
Okay.
It's very cool. Yeah. So as a note, former Scoutmaster right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, cool.
And this is really cool because you went through Scouts, and it's not easy because one of the things that happens along the way is that there's lots of stuff that kids have going on in their lives, and there are a lot of badges you got to earn to eventually then do your Eagle project. And so one of the things I want to make sure that we talk about is that You want to talk, share with us what your project was that you finished at
the end? My Eagle Scout project was the American Legion post sign. It was kind of rotted and it was kind of dirty. It's a brick layout, and then it has a little piece of cardboard on the inside with the, it's like stencil letters with stick on there, cardboard thing. So I really redid it all, put new wooding on there. My scoutmaster, Mr. Willie Frank, helped me with it. And then had another scout member. He did the gun outside of the Legion. So like the little cannon gun outside, he did that. I actually helped with that because you have to help somebody with their Eagle project, the Jerry Eagle project. So, yeah.
Very nice. So, you know, along the way, along the journey, you had to have leadership. You do different roles. And and I want to make sure that we mention which troop it was.
Troop 132, Scoutmaster Mr. Willie Frank Tompkins.
Very cool. And, you know, one of the things that you do, just like you were mentioning, did you go to summer camp a few times?
Yeah. So, which is why Order of the Arrow, yeah.
And which, cool, Order of the Arrow now, that's an extra.
Yeah, it's like an extra thing. Most people don't do it. It's not a mandatory thing to do. It's an optional thing to do, but I did it anyway because Mr. Willie Frank wanted me to do it. Yes.
Very cool. That's a cool feather in your cap right there, or arrow in your cap, if you will.
Yeah.
Nice. So what did you like camping?
Camping was not a big deal to me. I liked it.
It wasn't winter, was it?
I think it was springtime.
Okay.
We did a lot of fishing. I didn't know. I still don't know how to fish. I don't have the patience for it. Sometimes I can sit out there and not worry about the fish, but I'm a competitive person, so I really want to catch something. Yeah.
I like catching.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like catching.
Nice. So, you know, Lindsay mentioned just a second ago whether it was cold or not. You know, you can do cold weather camping. Did you guys ever do that?
I have done cold weather camping fall time. There's actually a camp yard down here in Edenton. We went out there, and that's where we normally go to do our camping and fishing and all that. We've done marshmallows. We've done everything. Everything you do in camping, we've done it.
Nice.
So let me ask you this. For all of the young kids that might be listening to you and looking up to you, what would you say about scouting and about getting involved with scouting and what it might mean to you? Because I imagine when you first started, you didn't think that you would be an Eagle Scout.
Yeah, when I first started, I didn't want to do it at all. But
you did it because
like,
your mama told you to.
I did it because my mom told me to. But it was, I found out it's a good thing to do, and I did it. I didn't have any complaints about it growing up, though. It's like, make the best of what you got, you know. The people I was with made it better, too. So it was a great thing to do.
So besides telling the young people that might be listening to do what your mama said, besides that, what would you say about scouting and that to recommend to be part of that?
It's a long life commitment thing, but if you do it, I think it's a really good thing to do. Teaches discipline, a lot of leadership skills, how to look up to people, and then once you get to a rank where you have to look up to others, you're going to always have to look up to someone in life. Do what somebody else tells you, no matter what. You know, this is just society we live in today. But it teaches you great skills in life that you need growing up, and especially as an adult, responsibility and all.
That's cool.
So, Steve, as a scoutmaster, what pitch would you say for scouting? What would you add?
What I would add to it is just that it gives you opportunity to learn how to do things that you wouldn't normally if you're just, you know, sitting around the house or doing things around the house. You know, you get a chance to go fishing. You get a chance to clean the fish. You get a chance to do other things like figuring out how to do a little. There's engineering badges and things like this, and there's just any number of activities. But one of my favorite was always learning how to make fire out of goofy stuff, you know, pieces of thread or inside of bark and stuff like this, and trying to see if you could be the first one to make the popcorn pop in a tin can or something like this.
Yeah.
Did you do the race car where you had to build the little box car?
Oh, yeah. We did that at Home Depot. We took a little field trip to Home Depot. We also did the birdhouses at Lowe's or Home Depot. They got them at both, I think. Did those, did painting them. But we did the race cars at the Legion. You set about four or five race cars at the top. And then I think they actually have a competition for it. Whoever can go down the fastest, that's who wins. I made it. I think I made like second place in
I was furious as a child. I have two older brothers. They were both in Boy Scouts. I watched them make those cars. And then I grow up, they're like, oh, you can be a Girl Scout and sell cookies. And I was like, no, I want to build a car.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to.
They also had a little little car tournament at the, I think it was at the Georgia College campus.
Oh, they were so cool.
At the little basketball, at the little basketball gym.
Yeah, it's a, that's a, the Pinewood Derby. And there's a couple church programs that do it now, and so girls are invited in that.
No,
well,
now so. We can make cars. My little boy's eight, so I'm going to make him be, and I'm going to tell him he has to do it just so that I can help him build a car.
Yeah,
he probably won't go very far. We may have to call you in.
Yeah, the wheels aren't the best thing. the wheels, all they did was put a little piece of what is it called, a nail, and put it through like a little hole in the little plastic piece of wheel, and then it just rolls down. But I don't. But some people think it's some people put glue on the bottom or however they cheat and do it. But you know, everybody does it different.
So with your skill set now, you're going to be putting suspension. You're going to be tweaking it. The box car is a computer. You're going to put some kind of turbo thruster in there with a cam. I got you.
Low fire out.
Step aside, guys. I like that. That's good stuff. So let's go back to badges for a minute. Did you have a favorite badge? Did you have something that you...
Horsemanship was my favorite badge. In Chinese, in the Chinese Zodiac, I am a horse. I am a horse. That is my spirit animal, if you can say. But horsemanship was my best one. My auntie, she lives in Lot Lolly. And she has her own horses and things. And, like, I used to go out there and ride horses all the time with my cousins and stuff.
Nice, nice. Very cool. So we're going to switch gears here for a minute. Mm-hmm. And because you're getting ready to go in the Air Force, and the Eagle Scout accomplishment is going to help you in rank and some other ways. So can you talk about that just a little bit?
Yes. Going in as E3, I get to go in as E3 because I have college transcripts from Central Georgia Tech and South Georgia Tech, and I also did the Eagle Scout program. So if you do the Eagle Scout program, you get a boost in rank. So probably base pay is around like $1,200 to $1,500 joining, but I think you'll get like $2,000 a month plus going in as E3.
Very nice. So what did you sign up for? What is it that you're hoping to be able to do?
My MOS that I signed up for was Tactical Aircraft Maintenance, which is working on fighter jets. Whew.
So MOS, let me go back. What does MOS stand for?
What does MOS stand for? I always just look at it as MOS as a job, as like just a job application you choose. But what does it stand for?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
So we have two in the military in this podcast, and they don't know what MOS. So I'm sorry, guys, I can't help you. I don't know what MOS
Mission
stands for.
Mission of Service,
for.
I guess.
I'm sure we'll get some kind of call from the military telling us what.
I don't even want to take a guess anymore because I don't remember. Forever you call it MOS. Yeah. It's like
it's just a military thing. You got different military terms.
All right, so let me make sure I'm clear on this. You went to college to learn about race cars, and now you're going to work on fighter jets.
There's
a need for speed in this kind of.
Yeah, there's a need for speed in everything. I mean, I like a good adrenaline rush, dopamine, anything that the body produces naturally. I just need for speed.
Very nice.
From horses to race cars to fighter jets.
Anything dangerous, anything that moves fast. Yeah.
I like that what you're doing, that's for sure. So tell us about, all right, so when do you make this jump? I shouldn't use the word jump, I guess.
December the 11th, that's when I go to basic training in San Antonio, Texas. After I graduate there, there'll be like two months after. Basic is 7.5 weeks, so about around February, that's when I'll probably graduate. And then I'll go to tech school, and then tech school is where they teach me how to work on jets and stuff like that.
Very cool.
So part of this MOS, this interest or what job you want to do, you had to take a test.
Yes, you have to take
the I guess the military gives you some kind of. Can you talk to us a little bit about the tests and, well, you know, what kind of strengths that it showed for you?
Okay, the ASVAB is the test that you're supposed to take to see what jobs you qualify for. Mm-hmm. So with me having my highest scores in mechanical and electrical, I chose a hands-on job, which is the jet job. Okay. You have, in the Air Force, you have four tests you're supposed to take, five including the personality test. You have the math, you have the science, you have the shapes and sizes and all that. We put it together with your eye. Then you have the electrical and the mechanical part. I can't speak on other services because they have like 2 to 3 tests for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but every service has different test requirements that you're supposed to take.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, what's really cool about the ASVAB is it's whether you're going to the military or not, is that it's a free career, kind of helping you figure out direction you might want to take or not take. In my case, there's something about my scores that came back that said, we really don't want him filing stuff. and something told the Navy that they really wanted to put me in a submarine. And I'm like, would you guys leave me alone? That's not what I want. I wanted, you know, it's like, by the way, the power of Google,
which I hate to say. He knows what MOS means.
It's military occupational specialty.
Yes.
I was going to say that.
So please don't call anybody from the military. We got it. We got it corrected. So thank you.
No, he's like, I was so afraid you were going to ask me what that, because I'm like, oh. Anyway, very cool. So, you know, it's basic training is what it is, but lots of cool adventures getting ready to come your way and all that. Do you go from basic training directly to your advanced training, or do you learn your job, or do you have a time where you come back home and then?
I think you have a 5 to 8 week break before you go to tech school again.
You mean working on the Camaro?
Yeah, working on the Camaro.
So is your mom going to come out and forgive me, but so basic training, you said, is 7.5 weeks, and I assume that there's a graduation ceremony at the end. And is that when the family gets to come out and spend
some
time with
you? Yes, that's
where
the family gets to come out. During the past 3 years, most of my intermediate family that I live with has passed away, but I get to get my biological mom, my dad, biological grandmother, and all those people that come with me. But they make it a very big trial thing to put the Social Security number down, driver's license number down, get like 6 spots at graduation. But if you're an active service member or been in the service before, you don't have to put a name down. You just come to the graduation.
Gotcha. So are you concerned about, from a physical standpoint, there is anything in basic training that's worrisome to you?
I've been trying to get in the military for the past 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
I was really originally supposed to go in May, but they found out that I have braces. I don't know why they didn't know I didn't have braces. But
they didn't look at your teeth.
Yeah, they didn't look at my teeth. Yeah. So I went all the way to the MEP Center in Atlanta, got my physical done, got my drug test screening done, got my eye test done, got my blood test done, got all the way to go pick a job and sign my contract, and it was like, oh, your account is on hold because you have braces. So then I had to wait until I got my braces off, which was about 2-3 months, during St. James and Craig. Good place to go, though. Good at braces, but got my braces off after that, and now I'm just waiting to go.
I don't know that I've ever heard a story where the military says, we got to get your braces off before we can accept you.
I can understand, like, glasses or something. You know,
yeah,
even then they let you go.
Yeah, but I didn't understand why either. But I guess it's because of the gas chamber, probably because of the gas chamber.
You have to go through.
Yeah, you have to go to the gas chamber once you go to the basic. They take everybody. They put everybody with masks on. You go in the gas chamber. Once you get in, they tell them, take your mask off. Gas exposes to everybody. You hold it in, And then you bought it like a 10-second window, I think, 5-10-second window.
And we're talking about pepper. We're talking about pepper spray.
Yeah, tear gas, right? Real okay. Tear gas. Okay, you go through the gas chamber.
I've seen the video of the guys coming out of that, and it's rough.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. Let me tell you,
Steve's having some flashbacks PTSD. Here.
We had this challenge to sing this song when it was your turn to take your mask, because they made you go to the sergeant and you had to take it off, and so our challenge was to see how far you could get in this song. Oh my gosh, man! All of a sudden, it's like everything's constricting, and you're just like. Gone. and you're standing out there, and you're not supposed to touch your eyes or anything like that, because you want to, though, because you're crying, and you know, and if you shaved that morning, if they don't do it first thing in the morning, and you know, because I mean, if it's happening first thing in the morning, you've shaved and all your pores are open up, mm-hmm. So it gets into your pores, and it's like, this is nasty stuff, man. But I tell you what, it clears you out, all right?
Yeah, mucus, saliva, everything. Yeah. You're spitting, coughing, everything.
It really makes you appreciate air, all right?
So how long do you think you're going to last in the tear gas?
I hope I'm the first one to come out. I hope I am. But I've never been exposed to pepper spray, tear gas, anything. So it'll be a first time experience.
Well, it's a fun thing. It's, you know, and part of it's all meant to get you to trust your equipment.
Yeah.
And but then also then to know what it's like and why you want to make sure you have working equipment. So, but have fun. That's
from a young man that has gone through the same training. He says, "Have fun," as he snickers.
So. Yeah,
he's probably never going to do that again.
Never going to do it again.
Yeah, that's you know, it, and yeah, it's different. So, but it does make you appreciate that they know what they're talking about when you, because you have to learn how to use the protective masks and stuff like that, and put the filters in correctly. And, you know, if you don't, because it's going to go in if you don't do it right. So,
I think it's a whole mental thing. I think that's what basic is for, to program into a new person, mindset change, not to be stronger person, better. You know.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. That's you know, it's and it's meant to, you know, create a soldier.
Yeah.
And that's a. Different thing, but if you look at it the right way like that, it's going to build you up and be able to accomplish so much that you didn't know you could before.
Yeah.
So you signed up for how long? What is a commitment?
With the Air Force, they're tricky. This is what they do. This is a fine line thing they have. I signed up for 4 years, but you have to do a minimum of 6 years. So you get to do 4 years. I'm doing 4 years active and 2 years reserve.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So at this point, you think you're just going to do the 6 year commitment, and then just take that experience and then go do the rest of your life and move forward.
Yes.
Well, I truly appreciate your service and I appreciate your commitment, and I just want to thank you for being willing and able to go and do that for our country and for us personally. I just want to say thank you for that. It is truly, I'm truly honored that you've chosen that path, and I wish you the best, and I wish your safety, and I pray for your safety, and I look forward to you 4 years from now having a conversation and talking about the opportunities from Eatonton to Albany to San Antonio, Texas. Mm-hmm. To the rest of the world.
Yes, sir.
Think about that. If you had your brothers, where might you want to be stationed?
I don't think I really have a choice where I get stationed, because...
Well, that's probably true. You don't. So you can tell me where you'd like to be stationed, because I think the government's going to tell you where to go, yes.
Yeah, I like Texas, very hot, but... Overall, Texas is Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, as they say.
That's what they say, huh?
Racing industry is big in Texas also. So
okay.
A lot of car meets and a lot of street racing, I guess. Probably shouldn't be saying that, but, you know.
legal street racing.
Yeah, legal street racing. Yeah.
Very good.
Nice. I, Tyquilius, this has been awesome talking with you. Thank you for your service, and looking forward to hearing more stories, as well as I can't wait because maybe the next time he comes back, he'll have taken apart a jet and put it back together again.
Yeah. I also get the name, my last name on the side of the jet because I work on it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Really?
That's the thing I really want to happen.
Will you send us a picture when that happens? We would love to post that picture. I didn't realize that by working on the jets, you actually get to put your name on the side of it. Yes, what, sir. That's amazing.
Yeah, pit crew gets their name on the side of the jet, and pilot also gets their name on the side of the jet. So it's like a team thing. But I'm supposed to advance into a crew chief. That's what the job is. It's a crew chief job, so you're eventually going to get at the top at one point.
Cool. Your name gets to be bigger.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Thank you so much. It's great talking with you, Tyquilius. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Putnam Proud. Do you know someone who hasn't listened to Putnam Proud yet? It would be awesome if you shared this show with a friend, colleague, community member, family, everyone you know. The Putnam Proud podcast is created for educational purposes. All opinions are those of guest and host. Thanks for listening.